Heavenly Father, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our wills and bend them to your own. And above all else, Lord Jesus, set our hearts on fire with a love for you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. And if you have your Bible with you, you can flip open to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. So here at Christ Church, as a part of the greater universal church family, we measure time itself by the life of Jesus. We follow the church calendar in which each season walks through a different emphasis of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, chronologically. So our life does not revolve around fiscal years or school semesters or even calendar years, but around the life of Jesus Christ himself. Advent is where it begins, and the expectation of the coming of Jesus Christ, both his first time and his future return. Christmas, his incarnation in his birth. Epiphany after that, where there's a revelation of who he is. Lent then remembers his 40 days in the wilderness, and we sit in the problem of sin that he came to heal. And then it leads us to where we are this week, Holy Week. And Holy Week, instead of great swaths of time of the life of Jesus Christ, we zoom in and we follow the footsteps of Jesus day by day, exactly as he did the week before his crucifixion and then his resurrection on Easter. So tonight is the first day of what is called the Great Triduum. Some people call it the Great Triduum. In the South, we call it the Triduum. It's the great 3 days that we are entering into. Maundy Thursday is tonight. And tonight was a big night for Jesus and his disciples. It begins with the celebration of the Passover meal and Jesus instituting what we now call communion, the meal that we share every Sunday together. We also call it the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. This is when Jesus takes the Passover meal that the Jewish people have been commanded to celebrate since their salvation from Egypt itself, and brings the focus of salvation onto Jesus and his work, and he gives us this meal of communion to share together. Then after supper, Jesus stands up and he wraps a towel around his waist. It'd be hard to find feet if it's around his face. He wraps a towel around his waist and he washes his disciples' feet. The miracle of Christ the Master, Christ the King of Kings, doing the nastiest, dirtiest job of the lowliest servant. Because, you know, their feet, they walked everywhere and there weren't a lot of paved sidewalks, and there was a lot of live animals around too. So these feet were dirty, dusty, sweaty. What was under their toenails was probably not very pleasant. And here is Jesus scrubbing their feet. Then after the washing of the feet, he tells them that one of them is going to betray him. And they have an argument with each other about who it could possibly be, while Judas sort of sits in the corner trying to look at his phone or something to not make eye contact with anyone. And then Jesus gives what is called the farewell discourse. And so for a few chapters, he teaches. He knows that his arrest, his trial, beatings, scorn, ultimately torture and death on the cross await him. So he gives the disciples a last chunk of teaching where he talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says really famous things like, "I am the vine," or "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is all during his farewell discourse. And it says in John chapter 16 that the reason that he gives them all of this teaching is so that they will not fall away when things get tough. After that, he then predicts Peter's denial, and Peter says, no, I'm not going to deny you. And Jesus says, yes, you are. And Peter goes, no, really, I'm not. And Jesus goes, I'm Jesus. Yes, you are. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. After which, Jesus then takes Peter, James, and John, goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane, asks them to sit and wait and pray while he walks off and prays. And this is where he stresses and he's anxious about the suffering he's about to come over, he's about to endure. And he says to God, if there's any other way, do it another way, but not my will be done, but your will be done. Take this cup from me, but if it's your will, then I will follow it. And he walks back, and while he's been in anguish, his disciples have been sleeping off the Passover meal. And he says, wake up, please pray. I'm really struggling here. Can you pray? He goes back off to pray, comes back, they're still sleeping. And then after that, Judas leads the Pharisees and a band of Roman soldiers to Jesus, and they arrest him. They put him through a mock trial that goes on throughout the entirety of the night. Peter denies Jesus three times, and the rooster crows the next day. That all happens on Maundy Thursday. That all happens tonight. Now, of course, we don't have time to go into each one of these actions in detail this evening, and so I want to simply call our attention to how Jesus sums up why he has done all the things and said all of the things that he has said this night. Why? And it's found in John chapter 13, and if you read down in verse 34, Jesus says this to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Not even how well you know your doctrine, or how well you tell the truth, or how well you ward off sin, or how well you attend church, or how well you... The world will know you're my disciples by how you love one another." Now, all of those other things are important too, but how do we love one another? A new commandment I give you, he says. This is where the term Maundy Thursday comes from. It comes from the Latin mandatum novum, which means a new mandate or a new commandment. And so his final command to us, to love one another as he loves us, and that's how the world will know we are his disciples. And so on this night of crescendo to the crucifixion, Jesus's message is, love one another as I have loved you. And so the entirety of this night, the teaching, the washing of the feet, the communion, all of the things are to show us how he loves us so that we may do the same. Now, all of his actions then are to give us this commandment and to put it into practice and to give it definition, because this is not a vague, sentimental, make everybody feel good, glitter and rainbows sort of love one another. It has substance and form, this love that Jesus says that we should have one another, for one another, that he actually gives definition to it. It's a love of great joy, but it's also a love of great sacrifice, humility, and suffering. Let's look at just a few of the ways that Jesus has defined this commandment to love one another in his actions this night. First of all, this. Let us soak for a minute in the simple, beautiful truth that Jesus, who is God with us, simply wants to be with us. He wants to be with us and us with him. In Luke chapter 22, he's telling the disciples to get the Passover feast ready, and he sits down with them and he says this. Jesus tells his disciples, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So before he's about to suffer the most excruciating death that anyone has ever died, what does he want to do in preparation for that? To eat with his disciples. To simply be with them. He wanted to sit across from them, to laugh with them, to tell stories with them. "Hey, Peter, can you please pass the unleavened bread and the butter?" He wants to be with them in the basic human experience of eating, and eating a meal that is rich with story, a story of salvation from being saved from Egypt, and now being saved from sin and death at the cross. And one day, he says, we're going to eat this meal together when all things have been fulfilled and you have been saved from sin altogether because it is no more. It's a story, a meal that is rich with story that binds us together as a community. God wants to be with us. That is his posture towards us and the posture he wants us to hold towards one another, to want to be together. Now, he wants to be with us, and here's the other amazingly horrible news, that he wants to be together even though there is sin in the midst of us. Think about who's around this table. Judas is there, who is going to betray him. Peter is there, who will deny him. In fact, all of the disciples are going to run off except John. Mark is so eager to get away that the authorities grab him. He shakes off his coat and runs away naked. That's how bad Mark wants to get away from all the things that are happening to Jesus. You can read about it in Mark 14. I didn't make that up. So when we share the Eucharist together, when we take communion together, the love feast, we do so as sinners. Sinners who will hurt one another, betray one another, deny one another. But as we drink the cup of sacrifice, as we eat the loaf that is Jesus' body, we are loving one another as Christ loved us, with grace and mercy and unity. Not by our merit, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned our way there, or we're clean enough, or we're righteous enough, but because he loves us enough. This is what Jesus says, by how you love one another is how the world is going to know you're my disciples, because who else is going to eat this meal in the midst of their enemies and call it a love feast? How different we are than the angry, divided world that is out there when we say, yes, I'm a sinner, and my friend here is a sinner, and we hurt each other sometimes, and we come to the table that Jesus has set, the one that we've hurt more than anyone else, and he receives us, and we receive one another, and we do so with joy. That loving one another doesn't mean that we deny all sin exists or we just accept everyone as they are. It means that sin is very real, but so is the healing power of Jesus to heal our sins and our relationships. The righteousness of God is real. Our sin is real. The truth of God is unshakable, and the grace of Jesus must drip from us like the waters of baptism. And that's what we see when we come together to the table of communion, the gift that Jesus has given to us, this meal that says, love one another as I have loved you. And how have I loved you? I've given myself for you, my body and my blood. And so the way that you can, one of the great ways that you can show that you love one another is to share in this meal that is centered around the greatest sacrifice of love the world has ever known. And we see here also, as Jesus defines how to love one another, that our love for him and for one another motivates us to action, to do something, to not just feel or emote, but to do something. One of the things that he does to show how he loves is to wash their feet. These humble acts of service, with all the toe lint and the embarrassing lines that our socks leave in our very pale feet, that we have to stick out in front of someone else so that they can touch them and wash the dirt off of them. And for many of us, we'd say, you know what? I can do that for someone else, but no one should, no, I don't, they're not touching my feet. Peter said that too. And Jesus said to him, this is about humility. If we can't expose our toenails that need trimming, how can we expose the truth of our souls that need healing? Humble acts of service to give up our pride to trust one another in that way. Then our love moves us to action in communion, actively participating in the shared meal of communion, the same cup, the same loaf, the same line. This is not just something that we experience by ourselves, but something that we get to share together. And these acts of service and community and love all reflect the greatest love of all. They all tell the gospel story of Jesus. That we love one another as he loved us. Not the way that the world teaches us to love, not even the way that we necessarily want to love out of our own desires, but the way that Jesus teaches us to love, to humble ourselves, to give ourselves to one another fully and deeply in the nasty, dirty things like washing each other's feet and in the joyous, wonderful things like sharing a meal. That's what it means to love one another in this way, even while we are yet sinners, because we know that we are here only by the grace of Jesus Christ. So tonight, let us be aware of the intimate presence of Jesus and one another. That this is not an individual experience tonight, Monday, Thursday, or Good Friday, tomorrow night, and Saturday, we grieve in our own spaces. But then we come back together for the great celebration of joy in the vigil and on Easter morning in the celebration of Jesus' resurrection. That these are things that we celebrate together as the community. Let us know the humility of feet washing so we can know the humility of Christ who bore the cross. Let us know the eagerness of eating together in communion just as Christ is eager to eat with us. Can you hear the beauty of these words, friend? Jesus is eager to eat with you. He's excited to eat with you. I don't know how it is that you picture Jesus in your mind, whether he's scorning, whether he's ashamed of your sin, but the way that the scripture portrays him is eager to eat with you. May you know the closeness of him and the closeness of one another tonight. Let us prepare our hearts together for what we'll experience together over these next great 3 days. This is why we wash feet and eat together tonight. This is why Jesus did these things, so that we may love one another as he has loved us. So let's do these things together, friends. Love in action with Jesus together. In this new command to love one another as he has loved us. Pray with me. Lord, a love like this that's uncomfortable can only come from a divine source that moves us beyond our own insecurities and our own hurts and our own deep wounds and our own scars and our own sin and our own pride, but brings us to the place where your grace and your joy and your majesty outshine all of that darkness and that shame and that anguish in our lives. That we get to know physically in the washing of one another's feet, in the sharing of bread and wine together, we get to know physically your eagerness to be with us and your eagerness for us to be together. Lord, let us be this kind of church tonight. Move in through the power of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you. And those who do know you, let us be drawn even more closer to your heart, intrigued by you, passionate about you, curious about you, hungry for you. And may you restore us and renew us and redeem us bit by bit into your image so that we may love one another as you have loved us. And we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.